Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Podcast. My name is Josh. I, Captain Harry Kane, this weekend. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, also Captain Harry Kane. Brandon, how are you?
despite having Captain Harry Kane, Josh, I'm okay. Moderately okay. This feels like it's going to be a gut check episode for Always Cheating. Now, sure. We'll get to your wild card and how that did or did not come off. But there are so many other points of crisis happening in FPL. We need to find out where all of our clean sheets have gone. Like, dude, where's my clean sheet? Mm-hmm. And then we have just a boatload of knee-jerky attacking assets from the midfield from all these new strikers. Like, Allaire had kind of a breakout performance. So yeah. in this podcast, we're going to talk about that clean sheet crisis and play our game buy, sell, hold with a number of these attacking assets, plus a game week 4 preview. But before we get to all of that, Josh, I'm going to clear the lane for you. A lot of talk heading into game week 3 about you being on wild card. A lot of people triggered an early wild card heading into game week 3.
Yep.
What was your score in game week 3, and are you happy?
My score was 39. I transferred out about 25 to 30 points that I would have scored this game week. I would probably be like close to the top 10K if I had had I actually been hit by a bus and just had my bus team from last game week.
Sure.
As it is, I quintupled my rank. I went from 50K to 250. Still not too bad, thank goodness, because my first 2 weeks were pretty strong. And so, you know, now I'm sort of picking up the pieces. I mean, here's the thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's like a Patreon supporter, I mean, I did a long and thoughtful podcast on Thursday about playing my wild card and the rationale. And you have to remember, Brandon, it's not like, you know, I play this wild card and then I go out there on the pitch and I get to like score or not score. You know, it's like... It's like I felt like the fantasy element of it really hit home for me this weekend, you know, like picking people who I don't know, who I'll never meet, who don't care about me and don't care that they're in my fantasy team, go out there and do well or don't do well. And I have no control over it, you know? And so there's a lot of, and this is true if I wildcarded going to game week 3 or game week 8 or whatever, you know? And so I'm sort of like, it's whatever, right? I mean, it's like the first game we got of a wild card can be kind of a bummer sometimes. A lot of us have faced this before. And, you know, and then it's like what they call like a dead cat bounce in politics, I think, where it's like you have like a really bad pull and then you shoot up after that. So like, we'll see. Like, I feel like let's see how game week 4 and game week 5 look. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate to wildcard into a team and then have Harry Kane and Sadio Mane play like their worst games ever, like in their respective uniforms. That was, I mean, Harry Kane, if I had known, Brandon, just to take one example here, if I had known that Spurs weren't going to play with the midfield, right? Uh-huh. That may have changed whether I brought in Kane or captained him, right? Yeah, if I had known that would have changed my rationale a little bit. If I had known they were going to play a bunch of players and no one was going to pass to each other, that would have been a useful thing to know, right?
Yeah, right.
If I had known that Gabriel Jesus picked up an injury at midweek, that may have also changed my rationale a little bit. Sergio Aguero would have been much more appealing. Even you know, someone like Raheem Sterling, you would be much more, you know, much more confident that he would play all 90 minutes, you know, in that Bournemouth match. If I had just used a little bit of logic and realized that Liverpool always defeat Arsenal like 50 to nothing when they play them at Anfield, I may not have gone from 3 Liverpool players to 2. Right. So there's a lot. And also, okay, here's the biggest thing. Okay. There was just like a bit of common sense that maybe I didn't really take into account when I thought about this a little bit. And it's less of a fantasy thing. And it's more about just the mentality of a lot of these clubs that played this weekend. Aston Villa, Newcastle, you know, Crystal Palace, a bunch of teams were in a position where if they lost their third game in a row, it was like dire straits, right? Like, it was not looking good for them, and like possible relegation worries, things like that were in play. You know, Southampton was in that category as well. So you just had a bunch of teams that had a ton to play for, right? Like, they were kind of playing for their seasons, not to be too overblown here. And all of them were sort of playing my fantasy assets this weekend, you know, and Lucas Dean, Matt Ryan, Harry Kane, Manchester United. And I really think that had a big impact. And, you know, I don't know if I had thought about that, if it would have been enough for me to rethink things a little bit. But I think I just got like a little too carried away. You know, I think I got on Pookie early, right? I got him at 6.5 million. I got him before the hat trick. I was riding high, feeling good.
Remember the successes, Josh. Remember the good times.
Because I bring this up, Brandon, because yeah, I think that I flew too close to the sun. I think I got arrogant. I think that
classic Icarus scenario.
Icarus falling should be my new team name, Brandon. Okay, because because I thought I was smarter than the game. You know. And this week I remember that I'm not, you know, so it is. I look at my team, you know, I look at the combined 1, 3, 4, you know, 6 points from 5 defenders. You know, that sort of tells you everything you need to know about how this game week went, and so it is what it is. I think it's kind of funny. I mean, there were people who out there were like, I feel bad for the wild carders, and like, don't. It's fine. Like, if you wild carded Brandon and you quintupled your rank, I would think it was so funny. I would think it was hilarious. I mean, I wouldn't say that to your face, but no, secretly, I would, and I'm sure you think it's funny too, and you're not going to say it to my face either. I would think it was so funny, you know, if like you wild carded and it went this catastrophically bad, and I would feel that way for almost anybody. You know, I'm sorry, and maybe this is just like the way I was made, but like, it's fine. You know, like, do not feel bad for me. I will, you know, recover. It's like nothing is lost, right? We have 35 weeks left to go in the season.
All right. Two follow-up questions, Josh. The first is, where do we go from here? We have a question from Joaquin who wants to know, what's the plan forward to correct a wild card failure? So looking at the squad that you built, for better or worse, now you don't have wild card to fall back onto. What's the plan?
Well, I think my team looks awesome going into game week 4. I mean, you know, I didn't wild card for one game week. You know, this is not my first rodeo. You know, like, I feel like all the players I brought in were with even someone like, Sabalos, who actually is on my bench in my game week 4 bus team. But like, I have a lot of players who I have a lot of faith in, you know, who I think will come good. I mean, even Harry Kane, right? I mean, maybe they just can't play at home to a team that can really that just, I don't know. Like, I don't actually know if Harry Kane even stays till game week 5, you know, but I'm going to keep him for the North London Derby and then reevaluate from there. I actually wonder if I might end up just having to double up on Mane and Salah and just go for a really expensive midfield and just downgrade Kane to some 6 million player. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of different things I might consider, but I think the biggest thing is that when you have a wild card and it doesn't go well, you've got to give it at least one more game week. And I'm not going to burn points. I'm not going to, I ideally won't even use a transfer, you know, like, it, you know, because if things go really bad, I want to have 2 transfers going into game week 5, you know, and then I can do 2 or burn 4 and do like a little mini wild card or something.
Yeah. All right. So our overall ranks are kind of have converged now. I think we're right. We're both right in the 325K range. It's
I'm 242. So a little bit better.
Always
100,000.
Always chasing you, Josh. Always chasing you. So that, like, I've seen online some really great respected FPL managers who are consolidating around like the 1.5 million. Area of overall rank. Like, we're still in a very good position, and it begs the question that Alex W is asking, and I want to know what you think about this now with the perspective that you're talking about. What does doing well or doing poorly mean after game week 3? We're so early in the season. Is it an overall points total? Is it an overall rank thing? Is it your points total? A general feeling of goodwill or ill will toward your squad? How do you judge right now, whether it's you or whether it's somebody out there listening, whether you've had a good start or a bad start?
That's a good question. And I think that it's a real like fantasy philosophy question. You know, I think it's a lot different, you know, especially if you haven't done fantasy, this kind of fantasy before, you know, where you can have the same players and it's less head to head focused, you know, like, you know, American style, you kind of have like your matchup, you have a good game week or a bad game week, you know. And you either win or you lose. But here, you know, it's all about recalibrating your expectations, right? So like, based on this game week alone, I'm not winning the league. Right? I'm not going to win the fantasy game, right? There's just no chance, you know? And so it's like, great, you recalibrate, you know? And then you have a couple of good game weeks, and then you're like, all right, now the goal is 10K, right? You know, you have a couple bad ones. maybe the goal shifts to 50K, or, you know, it's like, I think that you just have to keep, I don't think anything is settled at three game weeks. I think that, you know, you might, you know, the real, like the big target of like winning the whole thing, if that isn't even a target, I would argue that's not really a target that anyone should aim for. Cause you just need so much luck, you know, for that to happen.
But like, you know, world that you live in, Josh, it's so bleak.
Yeah. Do you go into the season thinking you're going to win the whole thing? Like, do you like honestly think that? Like, do you think you could do it? Like, does that enter your head at all?
No, yeah, yeah. The honest response is the thought never even crosses my mind. I don't even believe that it's a scenario that would even come close to happening. No.
Totally. So my goal, I guess, going into the season was I wanted to get in the top 500, right? Maybe the goal now is more like the top 5,000, you know, just let's move right. Let's move the line back a little bit, you know? But I mean, I was around this spot last season and then I cracked the top 1,000. So like, it's not, you know, it's no big deal. No big deal to be at 250 or whatever, 500, even a million, doesn't matter.
Well, so all of the talk online, Josh, is how is Josh's score doing? How's his wild card doing? I got a question on Slack from my good friend Juan. My FIFA buddy, he said, Brandon, what about your team? How's your team doing? How are you? So,
right. I'm sorry, B. I know.
Let's take a quick. give me that conch shell. It's my turn to talk about me. Okay. I had a weird week.
I'm sorry. We got to take a break now. When we get back from our break, we'll hopefully have time to talk about your team though.
But I was just about to talk about John McGinn and his assist.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah, 46 points, a very average game week score. I think 44 was the game week average. So I didn't make any headway of any kind. Really good vibes coming off that Aston Villa Everton match where, yeah, I got 1 point from Dean. But John McGinn, he is that kind of differential. And we're going to talk in our buy, sell, hold section that's coming up in a few moments about these particular players that really can change the tone of your game week. So watching the game with our friend Danny, we actually hugged because we both had McGinn in our midfields, and we knew how important that assist was going to be for our game week score. Turned out I needed every single point because he had my front line, a complete disaster. Che Adams failed his final audition for Brandon's team. He's out.
Did you make a transfer this game week?
Going into game week 3, I did not make a transfer. And so now going into 4, I have 2 frees and I've already spent them. I brought in Cantwell and Pookie.
Okay.
There were a lot of different moves that I was considering making that included getting rid of Josh King and Ayoze Perez or Che Adams or bringing in Mason Mount. Todd Cantwell wasn't my first choice, but it just made sense for the money. So, yeah, that brings me to the other real ongoing weak spot in my team, which was Ayoze Perez. And, yeah, bad defensive game week for me, just like everyone else. Ederson with that final save point that he achieved in the final second of the match. That was just like a mental win for me, that one. So 46, as I mentioned, I dropped down to around 325K overall. I'm just still trying to find my balance here in the season. So I'm just trying to go steady as you can. I mean, speaking of jumping on Timu Pukki, let's just jump to our rant of the week. I love this note from one of our producers on Twitter, Kaja Kirstein, who says, being invited to two parties at once is confusing. So everyone's been sending out invitations to this Pookie party, Josh. You were one of those people who arrives at the party too early and the host is still setting up and they're like,
right.
And you're
right.
Like, Hey Pookie, can I help you? Like, you know, put out the glass of pre-pour the wine or something like that.
Yeah. And the person's like not dressed yet. And they're like, come on. Like they're like trying to be polite, but secretly they're like, I can't believe they got here so early.
So now we're getting invited to Vardy. The Vardy party is back on. Right. The Aller party. So many parties. It's very confusing. True. I agree, Kaja.
All right, Brennan, let's get into the podcast in a second here. I just wanted to a little bit of housekeeping. One is a quick shout out to Fantasy Football Fix. They were kind enough to give us both premium memberships, and I've been tooling around in there and really enjoying some of their private league tracking and things like that. It's a lot of fun. There's really a lot of in-depth stuff in there. So this is not an ad or anything like that, but it was just nice of them to give us access to the site. And we had a lot of fun messing around on there.
Yeah, I added you as one of my rivals. That you, and I think that's a feature that you can only do.
You're my first. You're my first rival. So that was a good feeling. Yeah. So that's definitely a site worth checking out. Always cheating Super League. I wanted to note, Brandon, we have 10 managers in the top 10. I know that surprises you. I think we have more than 10 managers in the league.
It really
does, 6,000 or something.
No, we're over 10,000 managers in the Super League right now, which is astounding.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thanks. Everyone listening, thanks for joining the league. Yeah, we want to get on that homepage. When they finally get that feature up and running on the FPL homepage, most competitive mini leagues.
All right, let's read off that top 10 as a tribute. And I'm going to do real names this time, Brandon. All right, you've been named. All right. Your name is going to come out there right now, starting now. Number 10, Bob Hartman. 9, Sepp Graham. 8, Barry Bruce. 7, Peter Kelly. 6, Matthew Wright. 5, Jackson McGee. 4, Stavin Limbadia. 3, HKBFGJMG. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to pronounce that or not. Number 2, Sydney. And in first place, it's Anwar Tan. So congrats to Anwar Tan, 252 points overall. Very impressive. Beats me by a couple of points, Brandon.
Yeah, I think Anwar is like 25 overall in the world right now. So, yeah.
Not bad.
Congrats to everyone in the Super League. It's never too late to join. Just go to alwayscheating.com, hit the league tab, or the join code is all over our social medias. At the end of this podcast, we will have more thank yous to all of our new Patreon supporters. Patreon, of course, is where you can go to support what Josh and I do on the Always Cheating podcast. You can say thanks. You can get access to our Slack message board. Also, every week, we have an extra ad-free podcast exclusive to our Patreon supporters. Other good stuff is available. Visit patreon.com/always cheating for more information on that. And as I said, stay tuned till the end of the episode when we've got a whole slew of special thank yous for our new supporters. Yeah.
Banner week, though, for the Always Cheating Slack. I really enjoyed it over the last week. I think the Ask Josh and Brandon a Question thread has really has boosted my own personal engagement. I'll say that much because I'm vain and I like to be asked questions. So, all right, Brandon, let's take a break and let's get right into Crisis Clean Sheet after this. All right, Brandon, we're back. Part one of this week's podcast is Crisis Clean Sheet. Brandon, what does Crisis Clean Sheet mean?
It means that I wanted to title this section after what I thought like a Marvel movie would be called. So Crisis mm-hmm. Clean Sheet does sound like something that only the Avengers can handle. it was astounding, the number of clean sheet wipeouts this week. And a good follow on Twitter actually is FPL Salah, as in Mohamed Salah. And mm-hmm. He's a great place to go to get the clean sheet bookie odds every week. And he posted the bookie odds this week, and you go down the list, and from Spurs, United, City, Wolves, Leicester, Liverpool, Brighton, Chelsea, Watford, all in the top half of the clean sheet odds predictions. None of them kept a clean sheet. Only 3 clean sheets kept Southampton, who were playing away from home, Aston Villa against an Everton team that honestly is yet to get going offensively.
Toothless. Yes.
And then another away team, Newcastle, at right. Spurs, a 10% right. chance of keeping a clean sheet, according to the bookies, and they were the third team that managed to do it. So, right.
But Brandon, what we didn't know is that Spurs had a 100% chance of not scoring because they did not play with the midfield. So, again, yeah. didn't know that going in. You know, no one did, not even the bookies.
Any complaining about the penalty or lack of penalty VAR decision on Harry Kane there, I'm not here for it because Spurs in no way, shape, or form deserve to score a goal in that yeah. match. So yeah.
I love the VAR overcorrection, by the way, where they were like, we're just not going to call yeah. anything this week. We're so yeah. like worried about how much it's dominated the conversation. So now, now no one knows, you know, like what is a penalty or what isn't. And so
I feel like VAR now is like a manager in the post-game press conference where it's VAR is like, I don't know, I didn't see it. We'll have to go look at it later and then we'll tell you how we really feel.
I did have one, it's not really VAR related, but I had one realization this weekend when I was thinking about penalties. It's not until you introduce VAR that I realized that, like, do you know what the definition of a penalty is, Brandon? It's whatever – it's like the definition of a penalty is like if the referee decides to call a penalty. That's like the only definition. There's like no – it is so ambiguous and requires you to be inside people's souls and know whether they meant to do it or not. I mean, yeah. You know, Jamal Lascelles like basically – like tackled King with his head, and that wasn't a penalty. It's like,
yeah, you know, did the Boris Johnson rugby tackle move there.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah. David Silva, you know, gets his foot stamped on, and these are just things that aren't penalties, apparently, you know? And so the only definition of a penalty going into the season was if a manager, if a ref decided it was a penalty. And now we like have this thing that's supposed to like help us decide, but of course it doesn't, because it's impossible to know what a penalty is or isn't.
So we're getting sidetracked here on our we're trying to solve the problem of clean sheets here.
Right.
I do feel like this is a problem that we try to solve at the start of every season. It was a couple of seasons ago we started an actual Excel grid of how many clean sheets we were getting week to week, and actually once we got like a month and a half to 2 months into the season, it was pretty much as we expected it to be. It just seems like it takes a month or so for particularly these bigger teams to just really get up and running to the peak of their powers. But it does beg the question, which Red Dagger is asking us, are clean sheets dead? And if so, should we go with, say, one premium defender like Trent plus four really cheap players at the back? Fly you fools, follow-up question here. If you had a way to fit in Salah, Sterling, Kane, KDB, Pukki, would you go for it? The idea being, if these clean sheets are going to be really tricky to come by, why are we spending, not a lot, but why are we spending any money in the defense, particularly with all of these more expensive attacking players coming to the fore?
Yeah, I mean, I think that... there's an argument to be made for that. I mean, right, you know, in the 2018-19 season, a goal was set for the most goals scored in a Premier League campaign. It would not shock me if that goal was broken or if that record was broken again in the 2019-20 season. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of talent being added to the league every year. There's so much money in the Premier League, you know, and so you just keep buying players like Nicolas Pepe. I mean, Nicolas Pepe could have scored two goals, you know, on Saturday, at least a goal in that match. And, you know, but he was kind of like, Kyungmin Son, where he was just trying too hard, you know, like it didn't help his team. Actually, I don't know. He more than Son was actively hurting his team. I think that Pepe actually like was really dangerous, and wasn't like it was like the first time someone had like successfully taken on Van Dijk and like come out ahead or something like that. There was some stat about he was like the first guy whose pace actually won over Van Dijk or something like that. So,
right. Van Dijk hadn't been beaten on the dribble for like 44 games, something.
Is that what it was? Yeah. I knew it was just, right. Something like that. So, you know, so that does, I mean, I think there's a real argument for, I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, I think there's context has to be a factor here, right? I mean, I think that Liverpool are playing Arsenal, a team that does have some attacking threat. I mean, it's kind of ironic that Torreira was the one who scored, but certainly they had their, you know, their chances regardless. You know, Man City were on the road to Bournemouth, a team with plenty of attacking threat. You know, even Everton, a team you and I were talking about, was maybe the third best defense in the league. They were playing, you know, road match against an Aston Villa team that really needed a win, you know? Yeah. And so I think that you have to, you know, next game week, it could be completely different. I mean, you look at the fixtures for game week four and, you know, Man City at home to Brighton, can't see them conceding a goal in that match. Yeah. You know, Liverpool play, who do they play? They play away to Burnley. Probably going to keep a clean sheet there. Everton play Wolves, but Wolves have to play a difficult leg in their Europa League tie. So it wouldn't be shocking if Everton kept a clean sheet in that one too. Right. You know, so I don't know. So I think it's too early, as you said earlier.
Well, I agree with your point, though, that there is this huge influx of attacking talent into the league, and that almost underscores the fact that you have to invest in your defense if you want any clean sheets, because if you're Wolverhampton or Leicester, you're a great team, but you're still a mid-table team, and you're going to face great talent at any opposition in the Premier League, whereas if you're Liverpool or Manchester City, you are the ones that really will have the odds in your favor to keep the clean sheet week in, week out. So if you're looking to collect any clean sheet points, I think it's just more imperative that you invest in these really strong teams. We talked about boogie odds for most clean sheets expected for the entire season, and Liverpool and Manchester City ran away with those odds. And talking about that Bournemouth match against City, what was the goal that actually beat Ederson? It was one of the most worldly free kicks that you'll ever see from Wilson. So there are these flukes that will drive this conversation for whatever reason.
I agree with that, but I mean I do think that let's say that I do agree with that. So let's say that the next step then is, does it make you more likely to have fullbacks? I mean, watching that match, I felt kind of silly having Van Dijk instead of Trent Alexander-Arnold when like every 45 seconds Alexander-Arnold was sending in like a beautiful cross, right? It was like, it felt like it was just inevitable he was going to get some assists in that match. Of course he did ultimately on the corner kick. So I mean, you know, is that something to think about? I mean, I look at my team right now and I've got four fullbacks, maybe five, depending on how you think of Lundstrom. I guess he's not really – so he's not a fullback, but he's playing an attacking position, which is kind of why you'd have a fullback. So, except for Van Dijk, though. Van Dijk's the problem.
Yeah, I think Trent Alexander-Arnold is – he's just a special player. I don't know if there's any other right-footed player like him in the Premier League right now. And – I agree that Van Dijk over Trent, it seems like it's not just a savvy cost-saving move at this point. Trent actually does feel like he is far and away the best Liverpool defensive asset. Now, you should have all fullback rule, I guess. I mean, I tend to think that that's less true when you get into the cheapy bracket. Like Lewis Dunk or Tyrone Mings, where if these lower tier teams keep a clean sheet, they have less attacking impetus. It will probably be a low scoring affair. Bonus points could be attracted more to the central defenders. Also, a team like Brighton, Lewis Dunk and Shane Duffy, the attacking impetus has never been with Brighton's fullbacks. It's always been with their center backs on set pieces. Now, I'm not saying that like those are great percentages that you want to play. Like Lewis Dunk's XG is through the roof. But we did see him this weekend score a goal that was
also ruled on. Yeah, I know that was. I wondered if did you celebrate that or did you know it was going to get chalked up?
I was watching Goal Rush. So when Goal Rush took me away from whatever the featured game was over to the Amex. I think they were playing at the Amex. The tone of the commentary, I could tell that the goal wasn't going to stand.
It was going to count. Okay, that helps. Yeah, mentally, you were ready. I was just going to say that I think maybe the other part of it, too, is that in those kind of bottom 10, bottom 12 clubs or whatever, maybe that's too derogatory, whatever, like the clubs that are now at the top half of the table, you're not going to find a lot of brilliant attacking fullbacks, right? Like, okay, you have like a – you know, a Holobas, you know, here and there. But in general, it's not like, I mean, you look at Burnley or like you said, Brighton. Yeah, I'm just like looking across the board. I mean, because even Leicester, like, okay, like top half, let's just say, like top half, you might be able to find a player like that. But yeah, I think bottom half, it's just hard to, like, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they go like Newcastle. It's like, who would I want on Newcastle? It's Jamal Lascelles, right? So
Soyuncu, the Turkish dude at Leicester,
right?
Sure. Manages to walk away with an attacking return against Sheffield United.
Yeah, it's a lucky one, but still, yeah.
Yeah, I think there is something to that argument of this, just the systems that the systems that the top tier, the top six teams are playing versus the other teams and how that actually does impact how which defenders you're buying at which price. All right, so we certainly were never going to solve the problem of where the clean sheets are. We just kind of hope that they'll show up. We're putting up posters around the neighborhood. Have you seen these clean sheets?
Yeah, but neither of us are going to do anything rash, right? Brian,
no.
Tell me you're not going to do anything rash.
No, I'm fine. I'm in a good place.
Okay. All right.
Given my now overinvestment in Norwich, I now have money in the bank where I could actually move Van Dijk into Trent Alexander-Arnold. But
not for a -4.
No, not for a -4. But beyond that, yeah, I'm quite content with my defense. And I think I'm content because it feels like a balanced approach. I mean, my most expensive defender is Van Dijk. Then it's Dean and Dunk and Lauten and Lundstrom. Something along those lines feels good to me.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I'm probably going to eventually start to move some money out of my defense, just because I really think I need a little more attacking talent in my midfield. And so that's going to be a problem I need to solve. I think eventually I'm really enthralled with James Maddison right now. And I just think that he's a player I want to try to find a way to bring in. And so,
yeah, you see those pictures of him on his Lamborghini and the rest is history.
Sure. I mean, Dean to Sonyoku would help me. I could move Sabalos to Maddison. Like, that'd be an easy, you know, move with two transfers. So really going to do everything I can not to burn my game week 4 transfer and hold it over for game week 5, because I want to be able to have a little mini wild card of my own. So, all right, Brandon, should we move on to part 2?
Real quick before we move on, because part 2, the buy, sell, hold section, only focuses on attackers, but I do want to touch quickly upon Manchester United defense. So you brought in Juan Bissaka, and I'm kind of jealous. Like, well, I mean,
really?
It was a disaster this week. It was a disaster this week. I don't know. There's something very shiny about Manchester United, even after the complete embarrassment against Palace this weekend. But I get the sense that you're looking to jump ship on United defense ASAP. Is that
no,
right?
No, I didn't say that. No, I was talking about Dean, but no, I mean, I think, no, I mean, I'm not going to move, but I mean, Wan-Bissaka is like, I mean, okay, has he ever passed the ball and like had it actually go off the ground? Every single pass is on the ground.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I've never seen anybody I'm not sure if he like has like no like angular velocity or something. It's like
he's
everything
all putter.
Is like
he's all putter, no wedge.
He's wonderful. He's a very accurate passer. That's one of the reasons he gets bonus points when they keep a clean sheet. But I mean, the guy has no attacking threat. I kind of already regret having him. I think I'd rather just have Harry Slabhead McGuire just like throwing his hand up on every corner kick, you know, like send it into me.
Sure.
I have no faith I'm ever going to get anything out of Wan-Bissaka. And also he's heading towards a yellow card suspension now,
right.
In the last two games. So yeah, I don't feel great about that. I mean, obviously transferring out Trent Alexander-Arnold for Wan-Bissaka, feels pretty cruddy, this game week. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I had pretty strong feelings about Man United going into the season. I really reversed course. I thought they looked really good the first couple of game weeks. And then they looked so bad, this last match that now I don't really know what to think. If Anthony Martial is injured, I may have to consider making a move early for him. It kind of depends on how injured he is. If it's 1 week, I'll probably just hold.
All right. Attacking assets, buy, sell, hold. So we're going to try and tackle this like a lightning round, Josh. And there are a lot of players coming out of game week 3 that either we're sick and tired of, i.e. Eozy Perez, or they're raising our eyebrow, like Sebastian Haller. So we're going to run through a whole slew of knee-jerk players and players that we've probably had since game week 1 that we're losing patience with, and we're going to give them one of three ratings, and that's buy them, that's sell them, or hold them. Buy, sell, hold. Are you familiar with the rules, Josh? Can you play the game?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Okay. So first one up, the man, the myth, the legend, the Finnish striker, Teemu Pukki. All right, so quick points. His price has already skyrocketed up to 6.9 million. He scored 5 goals with 1 assist to our man Todd Cantwell. I don't have total recall of Todd's name just yet. And a whopping 35 points all told. FPL Chancer Dan has this question about Pukki. For those who don't have Pukki, should they do whatever they can to get him, even if they don't believe he'll keep up this form? So it's one of those age-old FPL questions, right? Regardless of your belief in Norwich or Pukki or anybody who participated in the Access Powers.
I think that's a very, very easy answer to this question. I don't think we really need to go on too long about it. I mean, it's a huge buy for me. I mean, they play Man City in game week 4 or game week 5. Sure, that's bad. After that, it's Burnley, Crystal Palace, Everton, and Bournemouth. Those are all good fixtures. They're a super attacking team. I mean, I just to watch them is to know that you want to have Pukki in your team. It just doesn't take much for him to score. You know, it doesn't need many chances. He's a natural goal scorer. He's in great form. He's not that expensive. There's not a lot of options in that price range. I don't know. To me, it's a really easy decision. And this, like, I don't want to chase points idea is one that I think can really cause you to miss out on people. I've done it before. And he's not going to score a goal every week, you know, but
he's not Bossa Gomez for crying out loud.
Yeah. He's not Odion Ighalo, you know, but he's I think he's good value for money.
The one thing I would say about Pukki is just from the eye test point of view, when he received that ball when he was in on Kepa for the second goal for Norwich, when he got that ball in his stride, what did I think? I immediately thought he's going to score. Now, he wasn't. Now, it's right. Not like a 1-to-1. I think that, and he scores. But he is that type of goal scorer, which I think is rather rare at the top level, where you trust him enough, you trust his innate ability enough that he will make something happen. And that's just – it's just fun to have a player like that, particularly one that's getting results. So, yeah, it's a bona fide buy from us. Real quickly, though, on his partner in crime, Todd Cantwell, already up to 4.6. I mean, I don't think we need to do play buy, sell, hold with effectively a make weight at the 4.5.
Yeah, region. But he's a massive buy. He's a massive buy for anyone on a wild card, right? I mean, you don't have to play him every week, but at 4.6 million, starting left wing on an attacking team, he's gonna be starting for like at least the next 2 or 3 months. You know, I just think that's a very easy buy for anybody.
All right, how long can we talk about the player whose name is Brock Toon before people who weren't listening to Always Cheating 4 years ago just turn off the podcast?
Yeah, Brock Toon to quickly recap, anyone is not a longtime listener, Aguero, who we've like barely talked about this season so far, has in many past seasons been the most talked about player, the player that we have spoken about endlessly for lots of reasons, right? Sometimes it's because he's injured or he has some amazing goal scoring form, or he's a double game week legend or double game week miss, or he's rotating with Gabriel Jesus or whomever, right? Because we've been doing this so long that like there probably was a time when he was rotating with like, I don't even know. Who was it? Like, it would have been...
Navarro? Negredo.
That's how long it's been. We've forgotten. Yeah, Alvaro Negredo. Exactly. I guess they never really rotated those two. But anyway, yeah. So we got so sick of saying his name in every podcast that we started to call him Brock Toon, which is a reference to an old Saturday Night Live sketch that like no one outside of you, me, and like three other people have ever actually watched. So Brock Toon, B-R-O-C-T-O-O-N. Should we bring that name back? That was what Richard Orford was talking about that on the
absolutely Twitter. For if you're a Mr. Belvedere fan, this is crucial Always Cheating lore. I think we should bring it back. So Brock Toon. Nervous Ned directly asked us, have we all overlooked Aguero? He's now got 4 goals in 3 matches, 3 bonus points coming off of that match today against Bournemouth. Just like a cheeky brace for him. You don't generally see Aguero score such scrappy goals, but there he was, 24 points on the season. This is a tricky one as far as buying, selling, and holding. He feels at 12 million, he feels like a wild card option almost strictly at this point, right? You rejiggered with your wild card to bring Harry Kane in, so you're not far from Brock Toon at this point.
No. It wouldn't be impossible. I mean, you could go Anthony Martial to Mason Mount, you know, and that would flip the money to move Kane to Brock Toon, you know. So it could be done. I mean, the thing is, like, yeah, I mean, Jesus is going to be back at some point, but I think the pecking order remains very clear, right? Like, right. Sergio Aguero is the starting forward, and Jesus is going to pick up his scraps.
And he's going to pick up scraps, and Jesus is probably going to pick up multiple injuries because this is the same old story with him forever and ever. So, and I think Aguero is sort of sundowning, and he is going to want, you know, as many goals as he can get to take with him before he heads back to, I don't know, do you think he'll go back to Spain or Argentina back to Atletico Madrid.
They all go back to Atletico Madrid at some point, right? So that probably is what's gonna happen there.
All right, Aguero's count. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say it's an interesting thing with Aguero. We probably should be talking about him more. You would think that eventually he's gonna have some VAR things. I guess he did in game week one. He already has one VAR pen in his pocket, but I don't know. Maybe he'll get more. I don't know. Like he's interesting. It's hard to spend $12 million on him, but it's not unreasonable. So I guess it's like a hold. I don't know, like a hold with a half buy, like a small buy.
it is a small buy. I mean, for people who are doing some team surgery in 3 or 4 weeks, that feels like the right time where we have really precisely pinpointed the cheaper bargains mm-hmm. that would help us fit Aguero in. Now, one of those people that doesn't help is his counterpart at Manchester City, KDB. He was a big pickup for a lot of people on wildcard this week. Rosen priced to 9.6. He's been an assist machine, just got his 50th assist. I think it's the quickest player to 50 assists in the Premier League's history, which is pretty incredible. So if you have KDB, certainly hold him. He didn't have an especially great game against Bournemouth, but I'm not reading anything into that.
No, he looked dangerous. I thought he was a little inaccurate. I thought I agree with you. This was one of his best games. I thought his passing was a little bit off. It was almost like Bournemouth saved their best defending for him too. I felt like there was a couple of chances where they kind of Ake slid in to deny him on a breakaway, or he also had a couple of shots on goal that he could have scored. I mean, he's like a foot away from having a goal and assist and 3 bonus points in that game. Yeah. So, he's a definite buy for me. I obviously, it's hard for me not to just come out straight up and just say, yeah, I wish I had Kane over or KDB over Kane. You know, I feel kind of messed that one up.
If you have to choose between the two, between Brock Toon and KDB, though, what does that say about you? Am I a more conservative manager at this point? If I go with KDB's numbers and assist potential, is it more maverick to try and jump on Aguero before the rest of the top 10% do?
Well, there was just a comment today from Pochettino, and it was like, is Eriksen going to stay or leave in the window? And he's like, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. And that was really encouraging because, as we saw today, and I don't mean to like go on about this, but like Spurs without Endombele and Eriksen, I mean, there was just nothing going on. It was just like Harry Winks running around like by
Moussa
himself.
Moussa Sissoko is the most – like Moussa Sissoko clearly knows where he is and what's going on. Does that mean that he can actually execute any sort of tactic? Clearly not. It's just what a disaster.
It was just a disastrous game. It really was. Yeah. I think, buy on KDB, sell, I guess, hold. I mean, like, I don't mind having KDB or Kane for the North London Derby, as I'm sure you agree.
Yes, I plan to hold Harry Kane for the North London Derby. And then let's see, after Arsenal, Spurs are home to Crystal Palace, away Leicester, Southampton. There's a pretty enticing run of fixtures. Now, we were all captaining Harry Kane because of this enticing home Newcastle fixture, so I don't want to really read into the fixtures too much, but the point would be the imperative to drop Harry Kane at all costs is not there. It feels like a hold with intent to sell at the most opportune moment.
Yes, I think I agree with that. That's well put.
That Joe guy chimes in. He wants to know if a torch is being passed here. Has Kane taken Hazard's place as the premium FPL troll?
Yeah. Well, it's really the team itself might be the culprit here, right? I mean, losing the clean sheet Kane has a brace on the season already. So, I mean, I think it's a little too soon to say that. And in game week 2, they played away to Man City. It's a really hard fixture for anybody, including Liverpool, like anyone struggles there. So I don't read anything into the Man City game. In fact, when I thought about bringing in Kane, I thought about the Aston Villa match, where, it took him a little while to get started, but then when Eriksen was on the pitch, like they looked super dangerous. And then, just when Eriksen came on today, obviously, if I had known, like a rhetorical question for you, Brandon, or a theoretical question, I guess that'd be the if you had, if you were in my position, you're wild carding, and it came out like the day before the game week drop that like Christian Eriksen was not going to start that match, would you still have Kane in your team? Because I think I wouldn't have. I think I would have brought in KDB instead.
I think I may have. And that's just because where I have been since game week one, I've just been backing Harry Kane for, I mean, based solely on a hunch, I guess I can say.
Yeah.
But I feel like Kane has kind of
touched
he's been my project this season.
He did not touch the ball in that Newcastle game.
It was a problem.
I cannot give all the credit to Newcastle. I mean, it was ridiculous.
He is no longer my project. I'll just say that. All right, these players are going to get harder from here on out. Maybe a few easy ones sprinkled in here. So Sebastian Haller, buy, sell, hold the West Ham power forward. Here's the exciting news about Haller. He's coming off a brace, looked really good. He also dropped in price because a lot of people lost patience with him who bought him game week one. He's down to 7.4. Still kind of expensive to where he is in the FPL pecking order. Stag wants to know, where does Haller rank in the strikers price between 6 and 8.7? Very specific, Stag.
I like that.
Yeah. Also, Tim FPL wants to compare Haller to a few other players and how we might pair someone with Pookie. Haller, Abraham, or maybe Barnes, who's the best long-term wingman to bring into the Pookie party. So, did Haller pique your interest against Watford? Kind of scrappy goals that he scored, but his hold-up play looked good. He had the presence, I thought.
Yeah, I think anyone who's listened to this podcast for a few game weeks knows that I was really enthusiastic about him. Really wanted to have him in my game week one squad. Like, I just felt very like he's kind of like Pascal Gross a couple of seasons ago. He's just a player who comes in who has a reputation for doing kind of everything on the pitch, you know, and came in at a pretty high price, kind of made it hard to bring him in at the very start. And then he got injured in game week two. And so it's hard to really evaluate him. Comes back out, scores a brace in game week three. It feels a little too early to say. I mean, I guess if I was to specifically answer Stag's question, I probably like him, you know, and I think he's at 8.7 because that's what Rashford costs. So I guess it's hard to say. I mean, you know, it's like you have to like look past Rashford missing the penalty, right? Like, I think that I would probably go Pookie, Rashford, Haller. I think that those would be my three in that 8.7 and below range. And then lower than that, I'm not really sure. I think maybe like this Ashley Barnes thing, I still I can't believe it still. Like, I like, you know, it's like, I can't believe this keeps happening. Like, he has 4 goals in 3 matches. It's ridiculous.
All right. Well, let's move him up. Yeah. Ashley Barnes, buy, sell, hold. He feels like a dude, feels like a buy, man. I don't know how you can deny.
Yeah.
For the record, totally. I'll air a buy for me. Ashley Barnes, also strong buy. He's just in great form.
Yeah, I wish they didn't play Liverpool in game week 5, but or in game week 4. But I think he's a buy as well. I mean, you know, he's looks really good.
Yeah, it's a good point. West Ham's upcoming fixtures are much more appealing, at least in the very short term, that Liverpool fixture, to be more precise. But West Ham's run coming up, if we're looking at Haller, is Norwich at home, followed by Aston Villa, Manchester United, Bournemouth, Palace. So, yeah, really interesting there. All right, who's next? Oh, Marcus Rashford. So, you tipped Rashford above Haller for your Pookie party wingmen. So,
Haller has literally one good game, you know, and like Rashford did miss a penalty, but I thought, I don't know if you how much that Man United match you watched, but
yeah,
it was really dangerous. Yeah, I thought he had a lot of chances, you know, could have done something in that match. It was not his greatest match ever by any stretch.
Well, if you look around that whole squad, though, Rashford seemed to be the only one who had, and I'm reading so much into people's facial expressions this game week, but Rashford seemed to be the only one that was sort of carrying the torch for competitiveness on Manchester United in this match. Martial was doing his same old sulky thing. Daniel James didn't really seem like he knew which match he was playing in. Paul Pogba was pretty invisible. Yeah, nice worldly, Daniel James. Thanks for nothing else. yeah, I'd say I'd keep the faith with Rashford. But if you currently have him, absolutely hold on to him.
I can't believe Daniel James is only 3.1% owned, by the way. Like, nobody has him. That's kind of crazy. 6 million midfielder. And like that ownership is going to be a lot higher than that, I would think, over the next few game weeks.
Yeah, so Natasha Stubbs actually wrote in and wanted to know what our thoughts were on Daniel James. I personally, six million is for a guy who's already produced two goals for Manchester United, looks trusted to start. It's good value, but I just don't rate him at this point. He doesn't look like he's ready to make it. The jump looks too far for him at the moment.
Classic hold, right? Like right. I can't, I feel like I can't evaluate him properly yet. So I agree with you. I mean, highly rated player, did really well in the championship last season for was it Swansea, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Like it's, he's cheap, you know, but like it's like you compare him to someone like Mason Mount or even your boy McGinn, you know, and it's hard to really feel like he's a better option than those two.
So Martial, you picked him up on the wild card. I mean, I didn't think he looked bad. Again, I had concerns about him reverting to his sort of Ozil-esque poor body language, but he's been producing two goals, one assist, not a single bonus point to be had from Martial, but are you going to keep the, actually, let me ask you, because I haven't found any information about this dude's injury since he was flagged on the FPL site.
Yeah. Well, it was just like, Ole, came out and said, we don't know, basically, you know, but like, we hope he can come out and train in the next couple of days. So there's like no news yet.
Okay.
So I'm just going to wait and see, and we'll see where we are with him in a couple of days.
Assuming he had a clean bill of health and he was going to play on the weekend, you'd hold on to Martial for the next match?
Sure. Yeah, way to Southampton. Yeah, for sure. That'd be silly, I think, to ditch him so soon. Yeah. If he's like injured, if he's out for a couple of weeks, yeah, he's gone for sure. But you know, like if it's just like a little thing, then yeah, I'll probably hold. Even if he's like a little doubt, I would probably hold.
All right.
I might wait. Might wait for that like late night, like did he travel with the squad, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I think I might just take the hit, you know, and just hold on to him for another game week, because I really do think I want the flexibility of two transfers going into game week five.
Okay. Bournemouth away to Leicester, then Everton, Southampton, West Ham. That's the run coming up. Callum Wilson, or should we call him Giroux?
Because the new Giroux.
He is the new Giroux. Giroux, as you all know, is a five-pointer. It's an assist, no bonus, or perhaps a late substitution plus a goal. Callum Wilson is a maestro, 5-5-5 in the last three games. Buy, sell, hold.
Hold? I mean, not buy, but hold? Sure. I mean, it's a... You know, that's what the Giroux is, right? It's a hold. It's like a mutual fund. Callum Wilson is now a mutual fund.
Yeah, yeah.
Very steady, consistent return, safe. You know, you pay a premium for it, but you do get the safety of it.
Yeah, I'm in the same place with Josh King, probably just because I am a Josh King owner. I thought he did look decent. He looks very fit. Trusted to play the full 90 always.
Feels like, as I was saying, it feels like he always plays the full 90. It's crazy that he never gets subbed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. He's a hold. I guess we got to move through these a little more quickly, right? Let's try to do some fast buy-sell holds, Brandon.
All right, here's an easy one for you. Gerard Deulofeu. That is a sell at all costs, right? Sell.
Big sell.
Diogo Jota, have you had enough of this guy?
Easy sell, and I think that Everton fixture is a tough one for them. So yeah, that's a definite sell.
Yeah, the Europa League, they've done their bits in the Europa League, but it's not, as predicted, not helping their Premier League performances. Jamie Vardy finally got his goal this weekend, two bonus. Kind of underwhelming, just 12 points over the last 3 weeks. If you have Vardy, he's a streaky form player. I think you got to hold him at this point.
Oh, if borderline buy, I think. They're fixed. Well, I don't know. I mean, they do play Spurs and Man United and Liverpool in three of their next five. So, it's tough, you know?
It's dicey.
Yeah, it's dicey. So, I mean, he's a little bit fixture proof, I think. You know, he's a player who can definitely score against anybody, but it's not ideal, obviously. You'd rather have him playing the Sheffield Uniteds of the league.
So Iosi Perez, why didn't we all, and I'm speaking to everyone out there listening who bought Iosi Perez in game week one, see this coming from a mile away? it's done absolutely nothing for this Leicester team going forward. And he's gone for my squad. And I think that's a quick, easy sell for everyone out there.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week, but he's not the striker. Jamie Vardy is the striker. Perez is a player who exists to provide the ball for Jamie Vardy, which James Maddison, the next player in your list, Brandon, does better.
Yes. So Maddison has looked really exciting, especially the last 2 weeks, 2 assists, 2 bonus. He's really growing into his role on that team. He's making everything tick. Love him. I mean, when their fixtures, I think, really clear up, that's when he might become an imperative for us all to get him.
I agree. Not a bad buy early just to get him, you know, and I think that he could deliver. I mean, they do play Bournemouth and Newcastle in 2 of the next 4, so it's not out and out terrible. And that Spurs game is home at game week 6. I would expect them to score in that match. I mean, I don't know why you'd expect Spurs to keep a clean sheet on anybody right now, you know? So, I'm feeling very down about Spurs today, Brandon. You caught me on the wrong day for anything good Spurs related. So
that's fine. I don't know that they were really expecting anything good after that Newcastle performance. All right. the Chelsea boys, Tammy Abraham finally got some respect against Norwich with the brace. Two, like, I like to slag Abraham off a lot. I think he's too slight, gets pushed off the ball too easy. Sometimes he's just not clinical in front of goal. Yep. But those 2 goals against Norwich, both beauties, humdingers. He's just the problem. Yeah. 7 million is just it's a horrifying price tag for a player like Abraham.
Yeah, and you still worry a little bit about. I mean, he just got the brace. So you'd expect him to be locked in that starting spot for a while. But yeah, I mean, we've both said our piece about this. We worry about, I don't know how much you can read into a Norwich match, really. You know, that probably applies to Mason Mount as well. Although Mount has obviously scored in 2 different matches now. Mount does seem like good value. I mean, Lampard clearly loves him. He's still only 6.2 million. Again, I just, this whole Chelsea team, I just don't quite know what to think yet. And I'm wary of reading anything into that Norwich match because I just don't really think Norwich played deep. Norwich have a real center back problem. I don't know if you noticed this in that match. They have their center back play is very poor, and it seems like that's going to be a massive issue for them. Like, I don't know. Like, that's going to be a problem. What happened? I thought that this guy, Close Up. I thought Tim Close was like a big defender for them. I guess not. I don't know. What do I know?
No idea. I've not spent too much time on the Canaries forums to know. Mason Mount, though, he reminds me of Ryan Fraser from last season, like the price point as well as the role he plays. But it's really exciting to see him on so many set pieces, whether they're direct or indirect. He's taking a lot of corners, and if he continues to start and play that role, it could be exceptional value. But on the other hand, I do agree with you. Even comparing this Chelsea Champions League qualified side to last season's Bournemouth, you could at least look at Bournemouth last season and have a sense of what they were about, what the plan was. Less true of Chelsea right now, as good of players as they may have.
All right. A couple more to go here, Brandon. John McGinn. I think we talked about him already. We both think he's a buy, correct?
Yeah, definitely a buy. Good feelings all around. And Dean Smith came out and said, of all the players on Aston Villa, he's probably the most likely to score a goal. And that was before Wesley actually scored. And I spent that entire match slagging Wesley off. Just like, I don't know. He's just getting his sea legs, I guess. But McGinn seems like the one attacking player you could look to. You might be able to convince me of Jack Grealish, but the savings on McGinn over Grealish just seems far and away worth it.
Yeah. All right. So the Arsenal players, Aubameyang and Ceballos. Aubameyang holds Ceballos. I think he's still a buy. That Liverpool match, Liverpool played good defense. He had to do more defensive responsibilities in that match. Obviously, I brought him in kind of foolishly. I should have just brought him again. I got a little too cute there. But I like Ceballos, and I love Aubameyang, of course.
Yeah, I mean, the North London Derby will be always an attacking, exciting match. Then it's Watford and Villa coming up. And Aubameyang, three attacking returns in 3, and he looks good, so I agree. I couldn't think of anyone from Brighton to put on this list, so I just said anyone from Brighton, but I think we can
I still think Trossard looks good. I think he looks dangerous.
Yeah, I like that, and I don't think that Brighton is going to miss at all Andone for his like ridiculous red card challenge. I feel like they have other Andone clones that they can just drop in. That is,
yeah. Even my wife, who was watching that match with me, or just she was in the room, I should say. We were not exactly on the couch together watching the Brighton match, but she,
romance isn't dead.
Red card happened. I think I was actually watching the goal rush, and it came on, and both of us were like, oh my god, that was brutal.
All right, last player to talk about is Gylfi Sigurdsson. People are just, if you haven't already lost your patience with Gylfi Sigurdsson, my hat goes off to your patience, but he's dropped in price to 7.9. He's achieved nothing this season. This Everton team has been completely impotent going forward, which is a real shame.
Yeah, there's just so many players that you could have instead. And I think the Wolves defense is pretty solid. You know, I thought the Europa League thing would hurt their defense more than it really has. So I think that you could, you could move to Mason Mount and get free up 1.7 million. And I'm not sure how much you're losing, you know? Yeah. So, it's like a soft hold, but I would totally understand if you sold. If I had Sigurdsson, I would probably just sell him because I would just be kind of done, like done waiting.
Yeah. And speaking of done, we are finished with our buy hold sell game. Well done, everyone. Thanks for playing along at home. If we missed any players, if you want to know if we would buy, sell, or hold any specific player, just hit us up on Twitter or whatever, and we'll get back to you.
Perfect.
Josh, let's take a break. Then we're going to come back for a quick lightning round, and then we're going to do a preview of Game Week 4 fixtures.
Brian, we're back, and I want to take a moment to talk to you about my bookie. It's a brand new NFL season, and a lot has changed. Andrew Luck has retired.
Wow.
It was insane. Yeah. The scroll came through last night. I could not believe it. I was watching the Florida game with my wife, who is a Florida Gator alum. They did win, so go Gators. Antonio Brown may or may not have a helmet. The one thing that hasn't changed, where I'm putting my money down at all of the games this fall. My bookie is the place to bet on the NFL every weekend. Our Blue Wire podcasters, Brandon, we're part of the Blue Wire Network, are using mybookie.com/bluewire to sign up this year. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000 and only costs $100 to enter.
All you have to do is pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every NFL game. They have the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy players out there, which is basically all of you, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game week. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE to claim the bonus when creating your account. That's MyBookie.com/BLUEWIRE.
All right. I can't wait to go bet on my very disappointing Lions on MyBookie.com. Mm-hmm. All right, Brandon, we're back. Part 3, we have a one-question lightning round, and then we're going to look at Game Week 4. That one question, Brandon, who got the honor of the one question? It's FPL Wahoo. And they say, Newcastle were supposed to be the punching bag to replace Huddersfield. After today, is there a team we can target for matchups? Maybe Norwich. They score a lot but concede a lot, too.
Well, I mean, I take your point, Wahoo, about Norwich, but it has to be Watford. They look... And, you know, I'm sorry for all you Watford fans out there, always cheating Master Brewer himself, but Watford are terrible. And they do play play Newcastle in Game Week 4, followed by Arsenal, City, Wolves, and then Sheffield United in Game Week 8. But if you have, like, you'll be very excited to roll out Ceballos in Game Week 5, Josh, against Watford. Aubameyang, great captain choice in Game Week 5. Manchester City... Raheem Sterling will probably be captained by 100% of of managers. I think Watford just stands out to me, not to totally beat up on them, but I mean, does that jive with you? Does any other team jump out at you?
You know, I guess it's funny because Norwich actually is in some ways the team that stands out for me. And I was like, and Allaire, who I of course, now I'm like knee jerky and like would love to have him. Like, man, like I'd love to have him for that Norwich match in game week five. Because I don't have any faith in the Norwich defense. And then I see that Norwich play Man City in game week. Or, I'm sorry. Norwich play West Ham in game week four and Man City in game week five. And only having two Man City players for game week five already feels like a problem that I'm going to have to solve. You know, I think I'm going to have to try to get KDB before game week five just because that match is so scary. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, I mean, I think Watford is like, it's a weird one because, I mean, I agree with you, but like they were pretty good last year, you know, like they were decent and like they made the FA Cup final and they seemed like they were clicking. They kept their manager, which like they never do. And so it's funny. Like it's, I feel like it, maybe they're like, they might turn it around, but not in any evidence we've seen so far.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you're actually giving due respect to Watford for what they did achieve last season. And yeah, that does make sense to me, but I'll wait till I actually see something from the Hornets, who have a moose on their bench, which is weird.
Yeah, totally.
Game week four, let's talk about it. So Saturday fixture, the early kickoff, Southampton hosting Manchester United. A chance for redemption for Rashford, Martial, and the rest of the team?
Yeah, you would think so. You'd think they come out pretty strong in this match and really, really be going for the win.
Certainly, given that I sold Che Adams this week, it does guarantee that he'll get his first Premier League goal against United.
I'm definitely like my faith is a little shaken after that match, but I'm gonna keep the faith. I think who knows? I mean, I expect Manchester. I would think that Man United would win that match. They're certainly quite a bit better than Southampton, but I don't know. Southampton played Liverpool pretty well on the road in game, or you know, at home in game week two. So yeah. They did just win last game week. So I don't think it's going to be like an annihilation.
Yeah. All right. So the two biggest captain shouts for game week four are also happening on Saturday. Manchester City hosting Brighton, and then Liverpool are away to Burnley. I mean, there are counterpoints to the Burnley Liverpool match. So let's start with City Brighton. Will Raheem Sterling be your captain? I guess, or bus team?
Of course, yeah. Of course, yep. Yeah.
Same. I mean, the temptation for Liverpool away. Burnley, just one of those, their reputation precedes them. They're a home team. They're a defensive team. Are they going to stymie Liverpool? But you're fond of talking about that Salah hat trick that he scored against. Was it Burnley last year?
No, it was
Bournemouth. Okay, another B team.
Yeah. Funny, Burnley contained that goal in the 97th minute today, too. That was crazy. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a major fantasy moment. Surprisingly, less for Jimenez and more for Pope, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, yeah.
What's the ownership between Jimenez and Pope? So Jimenez, his ownership is 16.8. And then Pope, are you guessing higher or lower for Pope than 16.8?
That's a good question. I guess I'll guess lower. I would think he'd be lower.
Yeah, roughly half at 9.4%. So I guess technically speaking, it was a bigger moment for him.
Yeah, but among like the kind of, you know,
active,
the crowd we run in, I don't know what the right.
The bad crowd. I feel like crowd.
Everyone I know seems to have Pope in their team. So, I hear you.
Right. So,
anything else jump out on Saturday? Like any other matches that you're excited about? Any pure watches? Anything like just like really get you excited game four?
Yeah, I mean, weirdly, the Palace-Aston Villa match will be I'm interested to see how Palace at home react to coming off of a much-needed victory. And then, of course, Villa, some FPL assets in play there, notably John McGinn. And then the other fixture, West Ham-Norwich, should be a lively goal-scoring affair, as discussed. So,
yep. Yeah, not two teams that don't play defense. Right. Should be fun.
Not a pure watch at all, but a fun one nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that Norwich-Chelsea was a really fun match, by the way.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I thought that was really, like Norwich, like watching that match, I was like, man, I hope they stay up because this is the kind of team you want. They're like another Bournemouth, basically, you know, like good manager, don't play a lot of defense. You know, we have a lot of players who can score. I'm not sure if Norwich do have a lot of players who can score, but it seems like they attack, certainly. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd expect someone like Buendia to be a bigger factor at some point this season, too. He is really highly rated. So,
yeah, I mean, the discovery of Cantwell has given the opposition defense a lot more to deal with, because Buendia played that really beautiful ball into Pukki's path, and now defenders will know that Pukki has people who are breaking into the box that he can pass to if he's not shooting. It's coming together for them. I think it looks good.
Totally. And yeah, Buendia already has 2 assists in the season, so it's not like he's a complete, you know, bust or anything. But right. So I think he's that should be a fun match too. And then move on to Sunday. We've got Everton Wolves, Arsenal Spurs. Arsenal Spurs, who knows? Yeah. Like, who knows what's going to happen in that one? No idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's too close to that Spurs-Newcastle game for me to feel good about Spurs really taking it to Arsenal, it being a home match. I think Arsenal have enough new blood that they might actually beat Spurs handily if Emery gets his tactics right. I mean, I guess my prediction would be like 3-2 Arsenal or 3-1 Arsenal even.
I wonder if Eriksen leaves, you know, sometimes that can like give a team a little bit of a boost, you know, like a kind of like, all right, now we know who we are, you know, like now we can sort of show everyone like that we weren't just, you know, that we don't just need him to create. I don't know, like, sometimes there is a little bit of a boost from something like that. But I agree with you. I mean, I Arsenal would have to be the favorites in this match, but and they're at home too. But again, I don't have any strong opinions on that. I wouldn't want to bet on that game.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like I wouldn't. Really
I guess I really don't rate Arsenal's defense at all. So again, going back to that Harry Kane hold, Spurs will score on them somehow, some way. I know it. I feel it in my bones.
Yeah, and it won't be. It'll be Dyer to Sissoko or something. But yeah, I think you're right.
What about this Everton Wolves match? I mean, this is an interesting matchup of overpowered, underperforming teams in the league.
I think that's gonna be a bad match. That would be my prediction. It's like a 1-0 for Everton or something like that. This Wolves team, like, they just need to. I don't know. Like,
is it the perfect match to have on in the background at the bar while you're waiting for the North London Derby to kick off? Having a few,
it's not bad,
a few drinks
actually.
With your buds and just, you know, it's on in the background.
That's true. It's Labor Day weekend. Yeah, maybe I need to get down. I'm in town this Labor Day. You know, and normally I'm in Florida, so yeah, I got a chance to actually watch this one. So
okay. Black Horse is bubbling up here.
It's a possibility. Yeah. All right. Transfers. I don't plan to make one. You've already made yours. We talked about that earlier. Yeah. Captains. I think we're both on Sterling.
That's right.
So yeah. And clean sheets. They're dead. So
don't worry about it. They're not going to think about you. So you don't have to think about them.
Maybe that Man City game.
Yeah. City, the clean sheets will come for Man City for sure. Liverpool, obviously, but City just seemed like a big shout for a clean sheet this weekend.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. That's game week 4. That's boxed.
Beautiful. Wow. I feel like we covered a lot of ground. Mm-hmm. We bought and hold and sold so many people today, Brandon.
And we solved the clean sheet crisis. Wonderful. So it's time to sign off. Of course, as we mentioned at the top of the show, if you want to support the Always Cheating podcast and become a Patreon member, where you get access to a bonus podcast every week prior to the game week deadline, where we answer listener questions and talk about urgent issues that came up midweek, or you want to just hop on our Slack forum, get a t-shirt, all sorts of other cool stuff, head to patreon.com/alwayscheating and see all the different levels at which you can support. Before we get to our big Patreon thank yous, let's say thank you to our big time producers. Josh, take it away.
Producer thank yous, here we go. Brandon, Barry McGuire, Paul Hertzig, Victor Forberg Skoging, Travis West, Frederick Kian Gransky, Dave Wagner Lodahl, Brian Jacobson, Andy Penn, Jazz Binning, Christian Carter, Alan Creasy, Blair Jacobson, Nick Wright, Babas Kuhn, James Holland, Ben Grant, Jeff Husby, DeBig Gaffer, Trevor Ingerson, Brian T, CN Niehaus, Kaya Kirstein Leleng, Brian Chin, Nick. By the way, Kaya, our first female producer, Brandon. So shout out to her.
Awesome.
Brian Chin, Nick Costello, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Martin Savage, Chris Howell, Stephen Toomey, and Mike DiPietro.
Awesome. All right, guys, rate, review, subscribe to Always Cheating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, wherever fine podcasts are made available. Follow us on Twitter at Hal Cheaters, Instagram at Hal Cheaters, Facebook.com/Always Cheating. Email us with whatever you want to talk about. I don't care. Anything. I'm up for anything, Josh. Send me an email, HailCheaters@gmail.com. Or visit the website where you can visit the Always Cheating shop. You can join the Super League. You can just check in. Check in on everything. AlwaysCheating.com. All right. It's the Patreon thank yous new this week. We had a huge influx, which was great to see. Thank you to everyone who currently supports. And Josh, I like how you also say, let us just thank people who listen to the Always Cheating podcast. Even if you don't go to Patreon, thank you for listening. But we will not say your name on the podcast, unfortunately. So those names that we will say, why don't you do the first, the producers and the Volkswagens? I'll do the Sorlaws. That's a big chunk.
All right, that sounds good. A new producer this week, Barry McGuire. Thank you, Barry. New Volkswagen patron, Isaac Cullen. Thank you, Isaac.
And at the Lord Sorloth level, thanks to all of you, Ole Martin Drevland, Lars Janssen, Larry Burns, Abraham Overord, Andrew Chong, Michael Leon, Mr. Adam J. Varney, Michael Weber, Martin Trichy Schwartz, Nathaniel Curtis, Mark Worrell, Ned Stark. Wow, you lost your head, man. Brian Peters, Shane Byrne, Glenn Sanders, Timi Pookie. Timi? I think that was actually Timu Pookie. Emails.
It was Timu Pookie.
John Smith, Nathan Gill, Matt Kuthel, David Brassel, Sean Schicker, FPL Sniper, Jarl Herapath, Andrew Siegel, Gronus, which also sounds like a Star Wars villain, Stephen Marsh, Daniel McKay, Bjorn Martin, Bach Norby, yep, got that Nordby, Hilner Fiefensen, Anthony T. Bowser, Isaac Lund, Thomas Young, Richard Harwood, Lee Witz, Diraj Saktiva, Harry Baldock, Carlos Morales, Chris Norwood. You're loving this, aren't you, Joshua?
Yeah. Now you're doing a great job. You're almost done.
Mark Alderson and David Rose. We still have some Pookie patrons to thank. Josh, please do the honors.
Pookie patrons, Simon Christopher, David Bridges, Luke Pollock, David McGowan. I got off a little easier there, Brandon. Thank you to Simon, David, Luke, and David. And thank you, obviously, to all the Lords for Love patrons as well. And, of course, our new Volkswagen producer patrons. Brandon, it's been great talking to you. I'll see you in a week.
Bye-bye, Hail Cheaters.